I was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, so it was still a little early. I think the Jewish 10 is 11:30, no? What's the Jewish 10? Huh? Our subject this morning, Be'ezer Hashem, is to talk a little about tefillah. But, however, since the major part of the zibur of the audience didn't come yet, so slowly as they come in, I'd like to tell you a Dvar Torah. And after the Dvar Torah, I'll come to our subject. You all know that the Yevonim, the Greeks, that we have so much to discuss about them on Hanukkah, they made three commandments, three gezeiros against the Jewish people: Shabbos, Milah, and Rosh Chodesh. Went out against Shabbos, not to keep Shabbos. Went out against Rosh Chodesh, whatever that means. And it went against Milah, Bris Milah. And Hanukkah is 8 days. And if you make a cheshbon, it's 2,000 years, 8 times 2,000, how many speeches and how many drushes were said to explain why these three mitzvahs? So I imagine it's a few hundred thousand. So my explanation will be 400,001. Why these three mitzvahs? Now, I think that the reason is as follows. The Rambam says, it's very interesting, and I'm not sure that this is according to all Mefarshim, that a goy, the words of the Rambam are that the goy who wants to do any one of the mitzvahs in order to receive schar, in order to receive reward, in other words, if a guy wants to be invited to our house and to eat matzah on Leil Pesach, could you imagine? So you can teach him that if you eat the piece of matzah kazayis within the right time, then you get a mitzvah and you'll have schar. In Yiddish they say as a yevoni in the sukkah, like a Greek in the sukkah, which is completely, you know, just completely out of. But is that true? According to the Rambam, if a guy eats a piece of bread in the sukkah, he gets a mitzvah and he gets schar. If he puts a mezuzah on his door, he puts on tefillin, if he wears tzitzis, he gets schar. There's one mitzvah that the guy cannot have, which is Shabbos. Akum sheshovas chayev misa. A guy cannot keep Shabbos. Besides Shabbos, he can keep any one of the mitzvahs. Now, the second mitzvah which I think the guy doesn't have is Rosh Chodesh. The reason is, of course, let us describe for a moment what is Rosh Chodesh. The Torah says, HaChodesh hazeh lochem. This creation called Rosh Chodesh, which is actually the nature of the year cycle, is given over to Beis Din, to the Jewish people, and they actually create the Rosh Chodesh. Chazal tell us that when Rosh Hashanah comes, the angels say to Hashem, when is Rosh Hashanah? And Hashem says, why do you ask me? Come, let us together go to Beis Din, and we'll hear when they describe Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the nature of the world, the world cycle, and even the physical nature, because the world cycle has many physical aspects. I'll tell you, Lamashal, not after Rosh Chodesh, I want to tell you something very interesting. The Chazanish says as follows, listen. It's something very interesting, even though it's a little lumdish, but both sides of the Mechitza can hear how beautiful it is. The Chazanish says, the Torah says, that there is such a thing called as a tefach. A tefach. Now, a tefach, let's say, that's around 9 centimeters according to the Shittos. The Torah did not give us an absolute measure of a tefach. Every rabbi measures his own tefach. The Chazanish says as follows. There's a halacha in the Gemara that a behemoth falls off a height, then by nature he might be a trefa. He'll die. It's called a nefula, a fallen animal. So, imagine you have a height like this, something like this. An animal went and fell off. A chicken fell off. And you go to the rabbi, and you say, Is he kosher or not kosher? And the rabbi measures. Now Rabbi A, Aleph, measures and says, it has 10 tefachim. No good. Rabbi B says, his hand's a little smaller, it has less than 10 tefachim. The Chazon Ish says, by nature, if Rabbi Aleph is addressed, and he says, according to the Torah, that it has 10 tefachim, the behemoth will naturally die. And if Rabbi Beis was addressed, and he measures by nature the behemoth did not fall of 10 tefachim, the behemoth will naturally live. Because the nature of the world was given over simply to the power of Torah. And that is Rosh Chodesh. Now, a goy doesn't have this power. So we find a goy has no Rosh Shabbos, and a goy has no Rosh Chodesh, the Koyach HaTorah. You with me? All right. The third mitzvah is Mila. And the Gemara says, Hanoyder min ha'arelim. If someone says, I swear, I am not going to have any enjoyment from Arelim, from uncircumcised people. And here you have a goy who made bris milah, mutter ba'areli akum. Because a goy, even if he makes bris milah, he is still called an orah. A Jew, even if he doesn't make bris milah, he's still called a mohel. So we find three mitzvahs that the goy doesn't have. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and bris milah. If this is the case, probably these three mitzvahs express the most crucial point in Judaism. And I want to explain, according to this, what really is the crucial point of Judaism. And I'll explain it in such a way. What is Shabbos and what is Mila? Shabbos tells us, when Shabbos walks in, Shabbos tells us one beautiful message. Shavas. Everything stops. The world belongs with its 100% to Hashem. You can go out to the world and you can try to do business. You could look for the best doctor. You could be the smartest person and try to raise your children with most delicious nachas, etc., etc. Shavas, the world belongs to Hashem. And Shabbos emphasizes it in so many words. When Shabbos comes in, stop everything and all there is Hashem. Now what does Rosh Chodesh tell us? Rosh Chodesh tells us the exact opposite. Hashem says, look, the neshama of the world is the Torah. Who owns the Torah? Who decides the Torah? The Jewish people. The world belongs 100% to the Jewish people. And here you have a din Torah. You know what a din Torah means? You have a fight between two powers, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos says everything belongs to Hashem. Rosh Chodesh says everything belongs to Am Yisrael, to the Jewish people. So what is the answer on this struggle? And the answer is as follows. Now I would like to talk with you people. This is previous to my drasha. It's a Dvar Torah. But I think that it's important for everyone to try to understand what I'm trying to bring out, because it's a very important point. Let us learn for a moment Baba Metzia, Daf Beis. Did anybody here ever learn Baba Metzia? No. So it's always good to start. So let us learn a Mishnah together. The Mishnah starts as follows. Shtayim ochazim betalis. If two people walk and they're holding on to a talis and they come into Bezin. They walk into Bezin and they're holding a shirt, let's say, and he's holding on to it and he's holding on to it. Zoi mekula shali, v'zoi mekula shali. He says, it's all mine. And he says, it's all mine. And they come to Bezin and they're screaming their heads off. He says, it's mine, and he says, it's mine. What's the deal? So the Mishnah says, yachleiku. Divide it up. Half is his and half is his. That's the Mishnah. Now I have a shaila. What's the halacha if two people walk into Beis Din, shnayim ochzim betalis, and each one they're holding on to that shirt, Ze oy mekula shelcha, v'zay mekula shelcha. He says, it's all yours, please, it's all yours. He says, no, it's all yours. What's the halach? What's the halach? He says, it's all yours. What? So, this Rebbetzin says something very, very smart, and I want to explain. Let me tell you. The first thing, let me tell you, when you have a shaila, you're supposed to look in the Torah. The Torah describes, this is a story that really happened. The Medrash tells us as follows. Alexander Mugdan, Alexander the Great, used to travel over the whole world. And he once came to a far away country, and he visited the king, introduced himself, he's the greatest king in the world, Alexander the Great. And he said, I want to study your ways, the way. So the king says, all right. It didn't come long. Two people came to the king for judgment. Mr. A said, it's a true story. My dear king, we have a big problem between us. I bought a piece of property, a field, for my friend. And as I was plowing my field, I found a treasure. A treasure which is worth a lot of money. And this treasure doesn't belong to me. I bought a field. I didn't buy a treasure. I picked up the box. I gave it back. So the king says, what's the problem? So the second says, no, I'm sorry. When I sold the field, the piece of property, I sold it with everything it possesses. And it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. So here Reuven says, it all belongs to Shimon. And Shimon says, it all belongs to Reuven. And they come to the king and they're fighting. Our situation. Zoy mekula shelcha, v'zoy mekula shelcha. So this king said to Alexander, what would you say? Said to Alexander, the Greek king, what would you say? What would you do over here? Alexander says, if I would have to do this judgment, I would kill them both and take the money for the king. So the king says, yeah. In your country, in Greece, does the sun shine? He says, yeah. Does the rain come down? He says, yeah. Are there animals? Yes. Oh, now I know where the sun shines. For the animals, not for you people. You don't deserve the sun. You don't deserve the rain. So the king says, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. And he says to the first, by the way, can I stop for a moment and put a parenthesis? What is this Alexander trying to say? I would kill them both and take the money for the king. I mean, what is he, a Hitler? I mean, the Chazal is teaching us something. The Greek king said, if such a thing would come to me, I would kill them both and I would take the money for the kingdom. Why? Because you have two nice people that deserve to be beheaded? This is not my discussion this morning, but I think it needs to be explained. Alexander was saying something very, very smart, and he was right in his way. He said, look, when you have a country, the kingdom is the society of the country. Now, how is society built? Society is built by each one, every person saying, it's all mine. Imagine you have here a hotel. Do you enjoy the carpets? The one who made this carpet, why did he make this carpet? Because he wanted to make money. He wanted to make money. He was hungry for riches. He made the carpet. The bread we ate today, someone plowed, and someone cut, and someone made the bread, and all these people said, I want to make money. It's all out of selfishness. And that is the creation of the world. So Alexander said, if you have two people that don't care about themselves, they're not pulling for themselves, and he says, it's yours, and he says, it's yours, the whole world will be destroyed. The world can be built. Everyone wants for himself to be rich. He'll build a factory. He'll make clothes. That's what Alexander was saying. So two people who are always kind. No, you take, you take, you take, you take. So we don't be eating chametz. We'd be eating grass. Alexander, I would kill them both and take the money for the king. So the king says, yes. The way you look at life, then you should know that Hashem gives sun and rain for animals. Because that's not really what builds the country. But let us continue. So the king says, I'll tell you what the halach is. What's the halach is? And it's a very interesting problem. So the king points to one of them and says, do you have a son? He says, yes, Baruch Hashem, I have a son. Do you have a daughter? Yes, I have a daughter. Marry them and give the treasure as a wedding present. That's the story. Now let me try to explain what is the explanation of what Chazal are trying to teach us here. The explanation is as follows. When you have a talis, let's talk about the word talis. It's a word which is brought in the Chazal. And you have two people fighting over it. There are two ways they can fight over it. One way is, each one says it's all mine. He says it's all mine, and he says it's all mine. Another way is, each one says it's all yours. Like the story we had. He says it's all yours, he said it's all yours. The halacha is as follows. This is the halacha of these two problems. On the first problem, if he says it's all mine, and he says it's all mine, the halacha is, he gets half and he gets half. That's the halacha. By the way, if you have a shirt, and each one gets a half, so I have one sleeve and you have one sleeve, and we're both left with nothing. But if I say it's all yours, and you say it's all yours, then the halacha is that each one really deserves the whole thing. Because I'm not taking from you, I'm giving it to you. And you're not yet taking from me. So I have to get the whole thing, I have to get the whole thing. So how do we create this paradox? By becoming partners. By becoming mechutanim. Your son marries my daughter, and together they'll enjoy the whole thing. My dear friends, this is the buildup of Judaism. Three mitzvahs. Shabbat says it's all Hashem's. It's all Hashem's. Rosh Chodesh says, Hashem says the Torah is all yours. You people, it's all yours. It's all yours. But we don't fight with Hashem. We say, Zer Mekula Shili, Zer Mekula Shili. In Shir HaShirim, there's a big fight between Hashem and the Jewish people. Hashem tells us, we tell Hashem, Hashem tells us, Kulach Yofa Rayosi. My beloved, you are all beautiful. And we say to Hashem, Hilcho Yofa, no, you're the one who's beautiful. So we fight with Hashem. Hashem says, you're beautiful. We say, you're beautiful. So we say, Shabbos, it's all yours. And Hashem says, Rosh Chodesh, it's all yours. So what do? Bris Milah. We get together, we make a bris, we make a connection, and we live with Hashem in unity. And that's the way we have everything and Hashem has everything. Now, what has to be explained is, practically speaking, how does it work? Now, when it comes to our world, we know what it means. When you have a man and husband, a man and wife living together in a house, there's two ways how to live in a home. There's one way to say, Hini Yofa Rayosi, and he says, Hini Yofa. He could say, look, I'm beautiful. Look how much I do for you. Look how much I help you. And she says, but I'm beautiful. Look how much I serve you. Look how much I help you. He says, Kula Shali, and he says, Kula Shali. What happens is, the children come home, and he says, look, it's my children, etc. And she says, it's my children. He's right and she's right. What happens is, he takes a half and he takes a half. The house is split, and each one has a half a shirt. He has one sleeve and he has one sleeve. And little Yankel, the poor thing, is pulled together in pieces, and he's the one who suffers. But if you have a family that works different, he says, Kula Shulcho. You're the mother of the children. You're the light of the house. The house is yours. And she says, Kula Shulcho. The house is yours. You're the husband of the house. It's all yours. So each one recognizes the other. Then they get together, they live in harmony, they live in unity, and in the end, each one has the 100%. That's what it means, bris. That's what it means, shalom bayis. But the moment you start fighting kula shali, and by the way, even chotzi shali, if someone says a half is mine, a half is yours, you also cut it apart. The only way is if you say kula shalcha, and he says kula shalcha, you're all deserving, and he says you're all deserving. That is the way that each foot remains with the whole thing. Now, let us come back to the great partnership between Hashem and the Jewish people. How does it work? We say to Hashem, Shabbos Kodesh, the world is all yours. And Hashem says to us, Rosh Chodesh, I gave you my Torah, and if I gave you my Torah, the world is all yours. So practically speaking, how do we live together with Hashem? And the answer is as follows. Hashem set up a situation that the world is 100% His, and the world is 100% ours. Let me tell you how it works. Now, let me bring you an example. What is the most precious thing in our world? Almost the rain. How does rain work? Let us talk about a moment about rain, because it's something very important. We in America don't appreciate rain because you just open the faucet. But you should know, by the way, if there's no rain, there's no faucet. But let's talk a moment about the rain, about the precious, precious drop of rain. How does rain come? Now, you know how rain comes? The rain comes from the clouds. And the rain is 100% comes from Hashem. Am I right? Imagine if it's a drought. So what do? You hire an airplane or a helicopter, and you go above the clouds, and you buy some Pesach tikkazalt. In my time, Pesach tikkazalt was an expression of course, so today they have already thin Pesach tikkazalt. And you sprinkle on the clouds. A drop of rain you cannot bring back. You cannot get a drop of rain. You have to wait for Hashem. You're not able to get a drop out of the sky. You cannot get a drop of rain on your own. You cannot get a drop of parnosa out of your own. A penny you cannot get. You cannot get a penny of nachas of your own. There's nothing, a penny of health of your own. Everything comes from Hashem. The world belongs 100% to Hashem. This is Hashem's part of the world, and it's all His. He doesn't give us a penny. Let us discuss the rain again. How does rain come? Hashem sends rain. Who decides the rain? We say it every single day. Either twice, three times, at least twice. We say every day. V'hoi Hashem says, Im shemo atishmu el mitzvoisai v'nasati mitaretzachem. If you'll be tzaddikim, you're going to have rain. He shomer lechem pen yiftu levavachem. V'otzer es Hashem, I'm going to hold back the sky. So who brings the rain? We bring the rain. We bring the rain. You see what a beautiful setup? In other words, the factual rain Hashem brings. But really, who decides for Hashem, Kaviyochel? We, with our mitzvahs. So let me ask you, who does the world belong to? 100% to Hashem, and 100% to us. That's how the world works. It belongs 100% to Hashem. Let me bring you another example. Hashem sits in Rosh Hashanah and opens up three books. And in this book, He writes everything. He writes our health. He writes our happiness. He writes our families. And when he doesn't invite us to put one word into that book. Everything is decided by Hashem. Every penny we earn, every headache, every toothache, everything is decided by Hashem. And Hashem writes in this book for each and every one of us for a whole year. Everything that will happen to us, everything which is close to us and precious to us, Hashem writes. And no one could write one word. What does Hashem write? Shall I tell what Hashem writes? What we dictate to Him, that's what He writes. If we say, Zechreinu l'chaim, melechobes b'chaim, v'chosveinu b'sefer ha'chaim, if we say, please Hashem, we want Your closeness, oshamnu b'gadnu, Hashem writes everything good. If we say, Hashem, we don't care, we're not interested in You, Hashem writes something else. So look how beautiful the setup is. Hashem writes everything, and we dictate to Him. Zoy mekula shelcho, zoy mekula shelcho. The world is ours, the world is His. That's how the world is set up. And with this, I'm going to start my lecture now. I'm going to continuation what I started off with, and I'd like to bring this out very closely. My dear friends, the real bris, the connection between us and Hashem, the practical connection between us and Hashem is tefillah, is prayer. It's very important to understand this. Tefillah, besides being a mitzvah, but really tefillah is the life plan of our world. The Gemara calls it chaye olam hazeh. Torah is called Chaya Olam Haba. Because the diamonds of Torah, every word that we study, is so precious that there is no way to translate it to this world. How should I bring a mashal? Imagine someone learning a black Gemara. And he learned, let's say, 200 words of Torah. Or anyone on this side of the Mechitza reads an art scrolls, reads a Hashkofa book. It could be anyone in English or in any language, but if it's Torah, and you read, and let's say you have 200 words of Torah. What mashal should I bring you? Imagine someone is traveling, where I live, out in the Negev. Imagine someone traveling out in the Negev. And he's between Yerucham and Dimona, and it's hot, and he's scorched, he wants something to drink. And lo and behold, he sees a kiosk, he sees a candy store, out in the sticks over there. He stops by, he says, "Do you have soda?" "Yes." "What soda?" "With a Hechsher." "Isn't that wonderful?" "How much does it cost a bottle of soda?" "Over here it's expensive. Over here it costs $1.50. "Oh, $1.50. All I have is $1,000 bill. Do you have change?" "All I have is a dime which is worth $100,000. Are you able to change it for me?" So you know what the end is? The end is he goes out thirsty. Because there's no way for him to translate these riches into a glass of soda. That's Torah. Torah is Chaylam Habo. Every word of Torah that we study is put away for that wonderful day that it'll be opened up with its greatness and its endlessness. But this is not our subject at this moment. What is tefillah? Tefillah is the life pattern of this world. Why? Because of everything we discussed previously. This world belongs with a 100% to Hashem. It's very important for us to know it. Hashem never divided up this world with us. Never divided up this world. Never. Hashem never said what we think. You know, the world is half yours, half mine. You go out and work, and you do your part, and I'll give tzedakah to the Shemaya, and I'll do my part, and together we'll build a world. Hashem never set up the world in such a situation. This world was never divided between Hashem Yisbarach and the Jewish people. Never. That's what the Goyim think. The Goyim think you have to work hard and you have to have good luck. In other words, half is mine and half is from some kind of power on top. The Jewish people know that this is a mistake. The world belongs 100% to Hashem. That's the world. It's extremely important for us to realize this. And the reason why we go out and work is because it's a knas, it's a punishment for the Marishan's chet, for our sins. We have to go out and work. But there's a day in the week that teaches us, you eat and you drink, and everything is beautiful, everything is delicious, on the day that you don't work, because really your work is not what does it. Hashem gives us everything, and that's Shabbat. But Hashem says, all right, it's all my world. It's all my world. But so how do I run this world? I run this world out of love of the Jewish people. Let us get together. Let us make a bris. And what you tell me, how we live in unity and harmony, that is how I'm going to run my world. And this is essentially called tefillah. And that's why tefillah has to be three times a day. Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. And the Kuzari says, Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, literally, is breakfast, lunch, and supper. That's what Kuzari says. It's literally breakfast, lunch, and supper. Why do we eat breakfast? To live. Why do we eat lunch? Because my breakfast was digested. I have to continue living. And why do we eat supper? I have to continue living. And that's what the Kuzari understands. But we, a modern generation, we know what a 12 o'clock snack means. And when it comes to tefillah, it's a good idea for a 12 o'clock snack. It's a good idea. Because you wait till the morning, the house can chalashin. Because tefillah is life of this world. Tefillah is our communication with Hashem. That's what tefillah is. What I'm going to discuss this morning is some practical points about tefillah. Now, we know that filler is a problem. I mentioned before one of my lectures, and I told you a little some kind of a story that a fellow came to me and said to me, how do you get filler with kavona? And I answered him, if you would be able to daven with kavona, then you got it. You don't have to continue living. In other words, filler is the struggle of life. There's no shortcut. There's no trick to filler. But we can train ourselves to daven correctly and to daven with kavona. And I would like to give several suggestions of how we achieve and we acquire this power, which is actually the neshama of the world, our connection to Hashem, called tefillah. Now, before I start, I'd like to be very careful. What I'm going to say now, part of what I'm going to say, is a little revolutionary. And it's very important for you people to understand that I'm not trying to cut off what you know until now. I'm not talking to people in the sense of non-religious people. For sure, if you want to daven well, you have to work on it. You have to read the book to discuss it. And there are a lot of ways that you know, as well as I do, of how to acquire the power of tefillah. But I would like to add one or two points, which might be a little new to some of you, but surely not to omit, not to cut off everything that you know. First of all, we know, before we start Aces, before we start how to do things, it's important we know how tefillah is built. I mention this every time in the seminar because it's extremely important to know it. Tefillah basically has two parts to it. The two parts are called Sloisi Uva'usi, my prayer and my begging. Tfilosi Ubakoshosi. Sloisi, tefillah, prayer, usually refers to the precious siddur that we have. The most precious possession we got from Hashem is this beautiful siddur. This siddur is a piece of dynamite. This siddur was created by Avraham Avinu, who created Tfilas Shachas, Yitzchok Avinu, who created Tfilas Mincha, Yaakov Avinu, who created Tfilas Arvis. In order to appreciate a siddur, I bring a mashal. I'm Bezer Hashem. On this Wednesday, Bezer Hashem should help me the right time. I'm going to go home, Bezer Hashem. I don't know if I live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not easy to get to Eretz Yisrael. So what you do is, you go by plane. You don't walk, you go by plane. How does a plane work? A plane has a pilot. A plane has a pilot. And he's a very important person. You ever see him with his all his fancy badges and gold buttons and a fancy hat? Because he's very important. He carries 700 people. No, he has mishalochim, rosh yeshivas, mashgichim. He's very important. So let me tell you how it works. You go out to Kennedy Airport, and the pilot walks down the gangplank. On the bottom, there's two big, you ever see the two big tires? And he takes the plane, and he gives it a shove, and he gives it a vasil Israel. My dear friends, he can't move that plane. He can't move it even an inch. But I'll tell you what he does. The plane has a motor. And this motor was built by genius people. This motor has millions of parts to it. He gets up into that cockpit, and he sits down. He takes off his jacket because no one's looking. And he drinks a glass of coffee, and he presses buttons. And all of a sudden, the plane starts moving, and it could pick itself up with enormous power. Is it his power? No. It's the power of the motor that was created by great people. That's what our siddur is. We get up in the morning and we take a siddur and we say Baruch She'omar. Is that our power? It's Avraham Avinu's power. We use Avraham Avinu's power. This is dynamite. And this is not a plane to Israel. This is a rocket to the Kisei HaKovet. Every morning Avraham Avinu brings us to Hashem, to the Kisei HaKovet. And in the afternoon, Yitzchak Avinu, with his power, brings us to the Kisei HaKovet. And Yaakov Avinu brings us to the Kisei HaKovet. And when we say Tehillim to our children, one of the Rebbetzins sitting here asked me yesterday, I say Tehillim, I don't really understand the words. Is it worth it to say Tehillim? And the answer is as follows. Your Tehillim Your Tehillim, I don't know how much it's worth. Who would you like to say Tehillim for your children? Would you like the Chofetz Chaim to say Tehillim for your children? Wouldn't that be great? I think so. Would you like Rashi HaKodesh to say Tehillim for your children? Chazal tell us that when you say a Dvar Torah in the name of a Tzaddik, Sifsoisov Duyavos Bekever, his lips are moving in where he is, in his, where he is buried. Well, every word of Tehillim that you say, at that moment, David HaMelech himself is saying these words to Hashem and praying for your children. Whether you understand the words, you don't understand them. When you say Tehillim, you are utilizing David HaMelech's power. And Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, which were 120 Zakenim, Mehem Kama Nevi'im, they built a package called Our Siddur. And you know some of them called Mordechai HaTzadik, Zerubbabel, Ezra HaSofer, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel. These were people who built a package of power that actually connect us with Hashem. And this is called Tefillah. And I always say this, when people ask me, especially the Sadeh Mechitza, a woman's supposed to daven, I'm not a rabbi, I certainly don't paskin shailas, I certainly don't paskin shailas, but, and I'm really not saying anything lemaisa, I'm not saying anything factual, but just know the power, just know the power of what this compasses. Now, we come to the mushal of the plane. You have a motor. I never learned mechanics. Once in a while, when I have Baruch Hashem at home, and the washing machine isn't working, so I don't have a lumdisha cup, you know. So you take a screwdriver, and you imagine you take it apart, you put it back together, probably things will come better. You know? So I pull it up, you know, I take it apart, and I look at it, in Yiddish they say, Ahona b'nei Adam. You know, you ever see a chicken looking to the b'nei Adam? So the kapara's chicken, I look at it, I say, well, if I put it together, it'll probably be all right. And I put it back together, and lo and behold, there's a couple of extra screws. My wife says, what are these? Yeah, this is dumb. These are extras. There are no extras. An intelligent person made this motor. He didn't make any extras. Because a screw costs money, takes effort. And here we have a siddur. We have our precious siddur. And then, you know, saying you have a little extras in the beginning, a little extras in the end, a little extras in the middle. Every word is precious. Every word is part of this machine. If you come late to davening, and you say Baruch Shama Asher Yishtabach, and you miss one of those halukos, it's an earthquake. You're missing a piece of life. Because our siddur is a shlemus, is a completeness, is a greatness. Not in our capacity, but in the capacity of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Just like our Torah, and we have enough respect that when the Rebbe in the shul gets up and says a drasha, or Rashi says, and the question is, why does it say Bereshis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim? Why does it say Es? And we have enough respect to Torah. We don't say, well, it's extra. It's not extra. Hashem put it there. Every part of that siddur is precious, is dynamite, is explosive, and really is Hashem's plan to keep his world alive. Every morning, Hashem waits, kaviyochel, and it's Hashem's world, like I said. It doesn't work automatically. The way I describe it doesn't work automatically. I say, Hashem gives rain, Hashem gives rain. Hashem gives rain when he wants to give rain, because it's all his. But really, deeply, everything is depending on us. And the life of the world in this great setup of Zer Mekula Shelcho, Zer Mekula Shelcho, in this brisk disconnection between us and Hashem, Hashem says, I will take care of every prat in this world, and your part of this connection is Tefillah, this wonderful siddur. And this is one part of tefillah. Now tefillah has another part, which is called bakoshosi. Bakoshosi is something else completely. Bakoshosi is the simple act of talking to Hashem out of heart and out of feeling. And really, this is the beauty and the greatness of tefillah. The beauty and the greatness of tefillah is bakosha. And this does not have to be in Avraham Avinu's language. It does not have to be in Anshei Knesset HaGedolah's language. This could be in any language. It could be in English or in Hebrew. It could be in Spanish. It could be in Hungarian. It could be in Russian. And the best language is Hartsprach. The Chofetz Chaim, the Polish governor said a new language called Hartsprach. He said, the Chofetz Chaim said, I don't know what you said, but you spoke heart language. And Hashem understands every language, and the most precious language to Hashem is Hartsprach. And when a Jewish man or Jewish woman in any time talks to Hashem out of their heart, this is the beauty and the greatness of tefillah. And the question is, how do we get to Hashem? Hashem is the Kisei HaKovet. Where's Avram's rocket? How do I arrive to the Kisei HaKovet? And the answer is, because when you're in pain, you don't have to go up to the Kisei HaKovet. The Kisei HaKovet is with you. As Chazal tell us, Imoy Anoichi Butzer, I'm with you when you're in a moment of pain. The greatness of tefillah is when you put them both together. When you daven, in the words of Chazal, when you make a bracha, and you have kavanah, this is the greatness and the beauty of tefillah. And here we're coming to the crux of our discussion. How do we acquire this power to have kavanah and tefillah? And it's a very big problem. Everyone sitting here knows good and well what this problem means. We daven, our mouth carries us away. We say tefillah, our mouth carries us away. Whether we understand what it says, we don't understand what it says. And it bothers us, and we know and we feel that we're missing all the beauties of life. And how do we solve this problem? Now, the answer is, in my opinion, as follows. Tefillah, as we had said, and let us maybe for this moment translate the word tefillah. Tefillah means connection. That's what tefillah means. I think you know that Leah said, Naftulei Elokim niftalti imachoisi. Excuse me, Rachel said, Naftulei Elokim niftalti imachoisi v'gam yecholti. When Leah had a lot of children, and Rachel was without children, and she gave Bila, and she says, Naftulei Elokim, Hashem connected me with my sister. Naftulei means to be connected, and Tefillah means to be connected to Hashem. This connection with us to Hashem, how does it work? And the answer is, every connection, every bris, has to come from two sides. Let me explain this. The Maseilas Yesharim, in his beautiful language, calls it, he doesn't speak about tefillah, he speaks about Kedusha, which is really one of the same thing. He calls it, Chilosoi Heshtadlus V'soifoi Matonah.